Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Falcons quarterback, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. Were you going to say analyst?
No, I was, but you know.
You did the motion. You didn't say it.
Analyst. Yeah, there you go.
Dave, welcome in. We didn't exactly get the result we wanted yesterday, but how was the atmosphere for the home opener for this season?
Yeah, it was good, Allie. It was the crowd was fired up. I thought that there were a lot of people in their seats and ready to go. Sometimes there's so many cool things about Mercedes-Benz Stadium that you kind of get caught up and wandering around and kind of wide-eyed looking at everything. They always introduce some new food items and things on different levels of the stadium. Got the new Sports Illustrated Club at the top level up above in the third level. So I think if you can kind of get caught up wandering around and forget why you came down there. But I thought that the fans didn't do that this time. I thought they were very much in their seats. The Falcons gave up flags, which they're going to give out every weekend. So you're going to be able to get some of that pageantry that's attached to it. And so I thought they were fired up and ready to go. I thought the guys fed off it too. I thought during the introduction of the players, especially when they introduced the back end of those guys, some of the prominent guys that are going to make plays for you, like Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Michael Penix, I thought the crowd really reacted to those guys. So there was a lot of juice in the building, no question.
Arch, Grant and I yesterday in the post game tried to approach it as level-headed as you can, and I think the more and more I've gotten removed from this game, it's a week one loss. It stinks, but in almost every sense of the game, it was exactly like the last year's Thursday night game. You played very, very close game. You just didn't make the field goal at the end to send it to overtime the way you did in last year's Thursday night game. You can look at third down percentages. You can look at rushing yards. You can look at Baker's stats. I think last year he's 180 for three touchdowns, much in the way he was yesterday. Your overall takeaways and just encouraging Falcons fans not to sort of overreact and hopefully this team getting back to the drawing board in a couple of ways this week.
Yeah, I think that, Mike, you're dead on in that obviously the disappointment of not finishing the job and the way we did a year ago. But when you begin to think about, okay, what did you go to the field with? You went to the field with a bunch of young guys in some prominent positions. Number one thing was, how was Michael Penix going to handle his business? And I thought he was extremely good. I thought his poise throughout the game, including the final drive where he had to convert on fourth down twice, and he did it himself to get you in the end zone to get that game where it was. I just thought that was incredible on his part. You needed you wanted to see a home run play from Bijan Robinson. And boy, we didn't have to wait three plays and he blew the top of the building off with that catch and run. And then just a little check down play, which again goes back to what Michael Penix was doing in the game. Michael's looking to take a shot down the field and he comes out of the play fake, slides his feet, and then immediately drops it off to his check down. There's Bijan Robinson in the right flat, and then Bijan does what he can do. And you talk about, you know, a warning label for anybody that's going to play the Falcons coming up. You better find somebody to hug up on number seven when he gets out of the backfield. So that was fun. And I thought there were moments defensively. We only gave up four plays of 15 yards or more. In these two games a year ago, Atlanta gave up 18 plays of 15 yards or more in the two games combined a year ago. Just four plays. Now, two of those went for touchdowns, and that'll be something that Raheem and the defensive staff, Joe Volbrich, will look at. I mean, what happened from coverage standpoint, you know, to allow Abuka to get in behind you? It looked like Xavier Watts was going to intercept the first one. I thought he played extremely well. The young safety, we wondered about the two young guys in the back end. There was a lot of conversation about those two guys. I thought Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts played extremely well. We didn't get the sacks we were looking for, and that'll be something they'll continue to look for. I thought they pushed Baker off his spot. And then there's the other problem. You allowed Baker to get out of the pocket because you really did a good job against the run game. This team ran for 160 yards against you in the building last year. This year, if you take Baker's numbers away from him, they ran for 62 yards. But he had 39 yards of scramble yards that you add in there, and then all of a sudden you look up and you don't like it because they're right at 100 yards. So I thought there were a lot of positive things you take out of the building and take with you. And none are more maybe important to remember in that, you know, I remember we were reminded last time when I talked to you guys in 16, this team started off with a loss to Tampa in the building, and it was a downer. But they rallied and did some pretty special stuff that year.
Yeah, Arch, who was the biggest, you know, you mentioned some guys on defense, but to me, probably the guy that I thought had probably the biggest impact was Divine Diablo. How were they using him that allowed him to just be such an impactful player in yesterday's game?
Well, they freed him up, Bo, and I think that was something that Ulbrich said he was going to do. He was going to free up Caden Ellis, and he was going to free up, you know, Diablo, Divine Diablo, and let those guys run and make plays. I think you got to give the defensive line some credit here as well. I thought that they did a good job of getting up the field and creating havoc in the offensive front. And Mike would know a great deal about that as well, to create opportunities for Divine and for Caden to get to the quarterback. I thought that both those guys affected the quarterback. I thought they affected the run game a good bit. And how about the ability of Divine to get down the field? He makes an unbelievable play about 18 yards down the field on a tight end dragging across the middle. That safety background that he had at Virginia Tech came into play. He almost intercepted a pass down the field. So I just thought that he used their athleticism. That was the reason those two guys are on the field. They're very athletic. They can run. It just takes the defense to another level from a speed standpoint, and I thought he did all of that stuff.
We're talking with Dave Archer, former Falcons QB and analyst for the Falcons Radio Network. Dave, last year after the Saints game, that one game, everyone was feeling a certain way about Koo. And I know I heard Bo saying and others saying, if a game hinges on a field goal, you cannot blame Koo. Would you say that kind of opinion would ring true today, or am I just trying to give him some slack?
No, I think that you got some – it's valid when you think about it, Allie. 11 of the 15 games this weekend came down to one score. Now, there were a couple of games that got a field goal late. I think the New Orleans kicked a field goal with about 2 minutes left to pull within 7 of the Cardinals, and I think that Kansas City kicked a field goal late on Friday night to get within whatever it was, 6 points of the Chargers in that game down in Brazil. But 11 of 15 games are one-score games. You've got to be able to make your kicks, especially ones that are reasonable. This was a 44-yard field goal. It's Youngway has been so good in his career, I think 87% in his career. This obviously dredges up some of the things that you remember from last year. Prior to last year, I mean, the guy had been phenomenal. So you kind of wondered, you know, he doinked that extra point, and that was he leaked it to the right, hit the right upright and kicked through. He missed this one right. It's not his normal miss. His normal miss is that little short hook to the left if he's going to miss one, and this one sprayed right on him. So, but no, I think that you got to count on every piece of it. And then to go in after the game and say, hey, we lost the game because of Youngway Koo. No, there's too many plays. Atlanta ran, I think, 72 plays on offense. I believe 56 plays for Tampa on their offensive side of the football. So you're talking some 130 plays almost that it comes down to. It doesn't come down to one kick. But certainly you have to be able to depend on that if you're going to play in one-score games. Atlanta is now 6-7 in their last 13, and they played in 13 one-score games over the last season plus this game. You'd like that percentage to be in that 75 percentile, and you're below 50%.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Arch, I wanted to ask about Vita Vea, and obviously I've got my own thoughts on it. They were trying to take away the run. You heard Michael Penix say it in his conversation with you after the game yesterday. Vita Vea just continues to be a problem. It doesn't matter who's at center, and Ryan Neuzel has had his struggles with him as well, but we can't run the ball against Tampa and Todd Bowles' defense. Were you surprised by that, given everything we've seen, or was it just like, you know what, Vita Vea is a pretty hard guy to block?
No, I mean, Mike, you know more about that than I do. Trying to scruff up enough energy to block a guy that's 350 pounds for four quarters of football, but he was dying. This was a guy, Mike, you and I, we had talked about. He had a foot injury. There was conversation about him not even playing in this game. So, you know, I don't know if he soaked his foot in some of that stuff they had in, you know, Doc Hollywood soaked his foot in that, or I don't know what the deal was, but the dude, you know, wrapped it in cow manure or whatever some home remedy they had. But the dude was difficult to handle, man. If you tried to single him up, and they did a really good, give Bowles credit, and this would be something you could talk on once I get off, but Bowles did a pretty good job of getting him singled up on the interior. You try to double team those guys. We had a game plan. I remember we went out to L.A. and played the Rams out there. That was a game plan for Aaron Donald. They did not want Aaron Donald singled up. They were, and a lot of times he's interior, right? He's not out on the edge, so that's where Vita Vea is all the time. So you can maybe dedicate a guard and a center to him. Maybe even have the back slide inside and help. You know, chip on him and kind of pester him a little bit. But man, when he got singled up, he posterized some people in the interior. But they've been hard to run on, Mike, for the last several years. I mean, it's a team that only gave up 97 yards on the ground a game last year. They were fourth in the National Football League, and Vita Vea is a big part of that. But I thought Servassier Dennis being in the game, he's very similar to Vine Diablo. I thought he made a difference for him at linebacker. We know Lavonte David's extremely good. I thought Hassan Reddick was good off the edge. Yaya Diaby played well off their edge too. So I don't think it was just Vita Vea. He certainly was a monster. Logan Hall and Greg Gaines made some plays as well. So their front seven did a good job against the run game and created havoc, certainly in some of that short yardage stuff.
Arch, real quick, finishing up here. I'm really pretty hard on this guy, but I was really proud of Kyle Pitts. He's a guy that's kind of at times, you know, I don't think he had a catch in the first quarter, and sometimes when that happens, he kind of gets lost in the fray. But he did a really good job, I felt, late, continuing to fight to get open and be kind of a target really in that underneath area for Penix when they needed him on those late drives.
Yeah, he did a good job from that perspective, no question about it. Well, when he had the ball in his hands, he made a couple of tough catches. Obviously, we had the big catch that he ultimately made. Looked like I think it was Tyke Smith was on him, and it looked like raked the ball out, but it got overturned. That was incredible how many plays were evaluated and overturned. And by the way, in finishing up, Kyle Pitts, I thought, did a really good job of being a factor in the passing game. He still is a stretch when it comes to blocking, and I think you got to be careful about that situation. But unbelievable job of him being a factor late in the game. My question for you guys can settle this when I get off here, is if you're going to find somebody to get rid of, what's going on with the guy running the clock in the stadium? Can we get that one fixed? I mean, how many times
so bad.
We have to adjust the clock?
So bad.
Well, I could get rid of Lan Clark and the clock operator, I guess, because either one of them, to me, you know what? I blame them both. If you can't get on the same page, you're both out of here.
Yeah, and don't panic, Falcon fans. I know that there's going to be naysayers and all this kind of stuff, and, hey, these guys didn't play this and do this in the preseason, all that kind of stuff. A lot of good football happened on the field. There's a lot of young players that are going to get better, exponentially better, over the season. Certainly need to have that happen on Sunday night. So I'm excited about going down there. I'm excited about what Michael Penix does. And, hey, we get a national championship rematch. J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix coming up on Sunday night.
Hey, I love the positivity. Thanks, Dave.
You bet. You guys have a good day.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.